this passage, I think it's going to be really helpful for us because it really helps us to just remember what it is to be the church. What is the church all about? What are we trying to do? And so let's read this and ask God to speak to us about what it means to be a church, what it means to be fathers on Father's Day, what it means to be Christians. And it says this, 1 John 4, verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar, for whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." So Lord God, we pray, speak to us now. Lord, open our hearts. Give us great wisdom as a church in these days. Give us vision. Give us joy. Give us expectancy. And Lord, help us to love. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, what's the most repeated word in this passage? Love. It occurs about 25 times, I think. And in the letter, love is repeated 43 times. And at band on Tuesday night, we were reading this, and someone immediately said, "Hang on, haven't we already done this bit? Because it sounds quite familiar, doesn't it?" And if you've been in, if you're in a community and you've been doing these Bible studies, you'll know of that analogy of it's a bit like a spiral staircase, looking at the same things from different angles. But why keep looking at the same things? Why particularly this constant emphasis on love? You think we would have got the love thing by now, yeah? Most people, regardless of whether they're Christians or not, think and agree that the world would be a better place if we just loved each other a bit more. You know, we talk, we sing about love so much in our culture. I think David mentioned a couple of weeks ago that very famous song from the Beatles. They sing this: "It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love." Seems to agree with the Apostle John, doesn't it? Verse 7. Love one another. Love is key. It's what children need from their fathers. It's what we need in our relationships with each other. We all want it. We agree it's a great thing. Why then do we struggle to love? Why do we struggle to love? Because it's not actually easy, is it? They sang, didn't it? It's easy. But it's not easy. You know, Adele famously sang much more recently, "Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead." Sometimes it hurts instead. The reason this was such a massive hit, as I think many of her songs are, is because it resonates with the truth we experience. That many of us are actually more aware of hurt, more aware of pain than we are with love. You know, instead of intimacy and community, we experience loneliness, isolation, depression, broken relationships. That's the kind of story of our culture, of our nation at the moment. Monday this week, Sue Stone, our CAP Center manager, was telling us of 4 CAP clients who have considered taking their lives. On Tuesday evening, just before band, I went to the beach to try and go windsurfing, and the Coast Guard were there. And I spoke to one of the Coast Guard, and I said, are you looking for someone? They said, no, we found someone. And I said, were they alive? And he said, unfortunately not. And he said, it looks like they went in deliberately. And he was a volunteer. He's also a fireman. And he said, this is the 4th suicide this week. This week. And then he said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Something is wrong. This week, yet again, our newspapers are full not of acts of love, but acts of hate. Football fans fighting. You can't have failed to hear about the horrendous massacre in Orlando of 50 people in a gay club. And the tragic murder of MP Joe Cox. And I picked up this quote from Peter Carr, the Brighton MP, yesterday. And he, in his tribute to Joe Cox, he writes this, we don't yet know what led that man to do what he did. But in general, something just feels wrong in the world around us right now. There is so much hate and unfocused anger around us. Because of it, people, families, and communities are suffering. I think that's quite an insight, isn't it? There is something wrong in our world. All we need is love. So where is the love? I mean, and to be honest, even in the church, you know, often the church has been a place, rather than where people have experienced love, they've experienced hurt and pain and brokenness. Condemnation. Where is the love? Well, John writes to the church to help them be a people of love. And because when that happens, when people truly become a people of love, it is the most wonderful, the most beautiful, the most life-giving thing. It's so great that others are drawn to it and are transformed by it. And our world needs it, doesn't it? Doesn't our world need it? A people who know what it is to love. So what's the key to this love? Well, the key is found actually in the first 2 words of this passage. There's 2 words here that are actually translated by a few words in verse 7. So, dear friends, let us love one another. It's actually just 2 words in the Greek. And we don't normally do this, but I think it's really helpful just to realize this. We're just going to go and have a little bit of Greek, okay? Because you'll know these words already. Because they're both from the Greek word agape, which is love, okay? And it's a particular type of love. It's sacrificial love. And so it literally says agapetos, agapeo. Beloved people, those who've received love, yeah? Show love, agapeo. That's the message. Those who are loved, love others. That's kind of the main point this morning. Those who are loved, they show love. And John is saying, if you are loved, you are loved. Therefore, show love. What's the problem for this world? It's essentially that we don't realize and we don't experience that we are loved. You see, the degree to which you receive and experience love affects your ability to then show love. Augustine, the 4th century church leader and theologian, he wrote in his Confessions this. He said that the desire that dominated my search for delight was simply to love and be loved. So I just want to talk about those two things for a few minutes. Firstly, knowing you're loved. Agapetos. We want to be loved. But perhaps the biggest problem in our society is that we have tried to separate something that cannot be separated. We have tried to separate love from God. We've tried to do that. Some people say, I believe in love. I want the love, but I don't want the God thing. And you see, that's a problem because look, verse 7 says this. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Oh, sorry. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. He is the source of love. He's the origin of love. Love comes from God. You don't get one without the other. Do you see that? So if you try and separate those things, we're in trouble. You see, if God were to withdraw completely from this world, love would disappear. Because love comes from God. And we found ourselves in this sort of crazy situation, really, where we're all trying to get the quality of love that only God can give from one another. I don't know if you heard this song. You must have heard it. I think it's been going for the last 20 years. It's been remixed every year, I think. And it came out again last year. I don't even know who sang it originally. But it's this. You've got the love I need to see me through. Do everyone know that song? Yeah. It's a terrible song. No, I'm sure it's great. sorry if that's your favorite song. It's great. You've got the love I need to see me through. What's the interesting thing about this song is we basically sing this song to each other. And, you know, we sing, you've got the love that I need to see me through. We sing that in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes we do that in kind of through promiscuous relationships. We go, you've got the love, and then we say to someone else, you've got the love, and someone else, you've got the love that I need. But you know, some people do it through settling down and getting married. And they just say it's one person, you've got the love that I need. And they just keep saying it to us, you've got it, that I need. Some people sing it to their children. You've got the love that I need. Children, and they try and extract that love from their children. And do you know what? When we do that with one another, when we do that with our children, when we try to get the love that only God can give, we ruin those relationships. We destroy marriages. We wreck our children. When we ask from them to satisfy our need, our insatiable need to be loved. Are you a needy parent? This morning, you know, guys, my children, what they don't need a kind of a needy dad, desperate for love. My wife doesn't need a needy husband, just desperate to draw love. What they need is a full dad, a full husband who knows what it is to be loved. Do you feel empty this morning? Well, there is hope. You see, God is the source of love. Did you notice that? He is the source of love. You know, some people say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that God is loving. I don't believe that God loves me. Take a look at the world. Take a look at my pain. How can you say God loves me? Well, this is how, verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is the love that we're actually looking for and see how different this love is. This agape love of God. You know, God's love is amazing. I just want to show you a few things about this love. This love, it takes the initiative. Do you see that? God sent his son. God sends his son. You know, God is the one who wants relationship with us. You know, the Bible isn't about people wandering around trying to find a distant God. The story of the Bible is about a God of love searching out his children who have run off, who've rebelled and kind of said, I don't want you. It's about this God who takes the initiative, says, I want you. I love you. He's a God who seeks us. This love gives its best. I think, Sean, you prayed this earlier. Gives its best. God gave his one and only son. There is no greater gift that God could have given than his son. The one that he has been in love relationship for all of eternity. This God did not spare his only son, but graciously gave himself. Gave him for us. This is the indescribable gift. Nothing more valuable that God could have given. He gives his best. This is love. This is real love. You know, this love is unconditional. Unconditional. Becca was talking about this earlier. Verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God's love comes before our love. God's love comes before our love. We respond to his love. God doesn't respond to our love primarily. Look, verse 19, it's repeated. We love because he first loved us. This is so important because it means our salvation, it means our relationship with God is not based on what we've done, like Becca was saying, but it's based on what God has done in Christ for us. He loved us even when we didn't love him and didn't want to love him. While we were his enemies, God loved us. It's incredible, wonderful love. This is the God who in Christ was on the cross and prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Of the ones who were nailing him to the cross, those who were murdering him. This is unconditional, extraordinary love. You know, if you're here this morning and you hate God, the extraordinary truth is that God responds in love to you. He loves you. He loves you. This love sacrifices. No, so much. This is right at the heart of what this word means, agape. You know, so much of our talk about love is about getting, isn't it? You know, God in his love is the one who says, I'll make the sacrifice. I'll pay. I'll pay the cost. And he does. On the cross, Jesus pays the cost of our rebellion. The cost of our wandering. The cost of our mess in this world. You know, on the cross, he made, verse 11, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That means to pay the penalty. To pay the price. Not only does he move towards us, but he says, I will bear the consequence for all that you've done wrong. This is why we no longer fear. Verse 18. Look, there's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. We know if you're in Christ, there is no fear of punishment before God. Because Jesus has paid the price. He's taken the punishment. I no longer fear God in that way. I no longer fear what people think of me. And goodness me, so trapped we are by fear of what people think. We were talking about that encounter on Sunday evening. I'm free because I'm loved. I'm loved unconditionally. I have all that I need from God. It is so, so freeing. This is the love we need. And this is the love we cut ourselves off from when we try and separate God and love. We do that at our peril because we cut ourselves off from this extraordinary love. Are you rejecting God at the moment? And so actually rejecting this love, this wonderful love that you need. God invites you to come. Invites you to come receive this love. Come and experience this sort of love. A better, greater love than any other love you can find in this world. He invites you to come and receive it, and then he says, share it. Share it. Share that same love, agapeo. And this is radical stuff because it's the same love. It's this love that is unconditional, is sacrificial, that gives its best, takes the initiative. Look, this is the sort of love we're supposed to have for one another. Yeah? Jesus radically redefines family in the Bible. Yeah? When he was asked about his told about his brothers and sisters outside, he said, no, these are my brothers and sisters. And this is the sort of love we're called to have. Look, verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, yeah, with that love, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is so important. Some people, they try to have love without God. Do you know others? Often in the church, try to have God without love. And they're inseparable. You can't separate. Did you notice that? Verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because why? God is love. God is love. Some people, you know, say, well, I'm a Christian, you know, but I don't like those people. In fact, I hate those people. And I don't like that person. In fact, I hate that person. You get some of the language that comes out in the media of so-called Christians. The Bible says love is inseparable from God. I remember we were doing a Q&A. Again, I think it was an encounter, and people were asking different questions. And someone asked, does God love this type of person? And I can't remember what type of person it was. Maybe you have a question like that. Does God love people who do this? Does God love this group of people? And John Summers Harris was here, one of our missionaries, and he answered it this way. He said, love isn't something God does. Love is something God is. He is love. They're inseparable. In every action that God takes, he is acting out of love. It's one of his core attributes. He never ceases to be loving. You can't get God and not have love. So if you're not loving others, the question to ask yourself is actually, have I got God? You need to come back to God. In our community, someone this week said, they said this, it's really hard to love people, especially difficult people. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, do you know what? I think they're wrong. It's not hard to love people. It's impossible. It's impossible to love people like God loves us. Without God. Without first receiving that love. Because the unusual thing about the church is not that it's full of nice people who are easy to love. That is a real misconception about the church. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the unusual thing about the church is actually that we love each other despite all the mess. Because we actually hurt one another in church, don't we? Yeah, we do, don't we? Usually accidentally. But it still happens. And the unusual thing about the church is supposed to be that rather than operating like the world so often operates when a relationship goes a bit sour and they go, okay, well, I'm going to leave that relationship, I'm going to end that marriage, or I'm going to leave that church. That love would come in. Unconditional love. Love that sacrifices. Love that covers. Love that doesn't treat people as they deserve, to respond with grace and forgiveness rather than condemnation. And that's a completely different sort of love, because it's not normal to love like that. And that's why Jesus said, by this will all men know you're my disciples, by your love for one another. Not because we're all nice, but because we love. We love. Do you know, we're not supposed to be fearful in a marriage that our partner might leave if we mess up. Children aren't supposed to be fearful in a home that their parents will kind of abandon them if they mess up. And the same is true in a church. We're not supposed to be fearful that one or other of us might leave because we mess up. But there should be a confidence that there will be grace. This is what proves that God is among us. Do you notice that? No one has ever seen God, verse 12. But if we love one another, God lives in us. His love is made complete in us. And this is why he's given us of his Spirit. Verse 13. Because you're like, well, how do I love like that? It's not hard. It's impossible. This is how. He's given us of his Spirit, verse 13. Given us of his Spirit. This is why, if anyone, verse 15, acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. We actually become like Christ, primarily in the way we love each other. One writer says this becomes the greatest apologetic for God. That people would come in and go, there's no explanation for the way these people love each other. There's no explanation. God must be at work. And there's a mystery here, because it's true that we must receive God's love first, yeah, in order to share this sort of love. We get that, yeah? You've got to receive that unconditional love in order to share it. But it's also true that as we share it, as we risk stepping out and loving, because it feels risky, loving in that way, we actually receive love. Did you notice that? If we love each other, verse 12, God lives in us. Verse 17, this is how love is made complete among us. So that among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. God lives in us, verse 12. His love is made complete in us. Now, this is slightly confusing. There's a suggestion that God's love is incomplete. Did you notice that? He says this is how to make love complete. God's love complete, by loving each other. So if we don't love each other, it's incomplete in some way. And I was trying to think, well, God, how does this work? And I was thinking, well, maybe it's a bit like, you ever do in school where you do circuits? Yeah? You do circuits in series. Well, maybe this will help you. I thought, actually, no, it's going to lose everyone. And I thought you might know this. You ever have these old Christmas lights? You remember these lights where one goes and it all goes? Yeah? Do you remember that? You know, you just have to... Oh, it used to be that Christmas lights, you'd have 100 lights, and if one wasn't working, none of them would work. You'd have to go through all of them. It's just extraordinary. And because the electricity wasn't flowing. One break in the circuit, and it wouldn't flow. And I think this is what this teaching is about. That as we love each other, it's like the electricity flowing in a circuit. If you don't love, there's no flow. It's like the love can't flow in because it can't flow out. Yeah? If we don't love. But as we love one another, God's love is then able to flow in, and the source always remains God. But we have to love one another. And you might be thinking, well, you know, I can't do that. I can't love like that. And that's where we have to come back again and say, well, I need to receive from God. And we often go, well, I haven't been treated that way. Do you ever think like that? And these sort of messages? That's not the love I've experienced from people. Just want to notice this. Verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. The love God has for us. We're called to love like this, sacrificially. But we don't rely on that love coming from each other. We rely on the love that comes from God. It's where we are, back to the beginning. Back at the source. God's love for us. So I think it'd be great if we could just pray and respond to this message. And it isn't a simple response of saying, do I need to receive God's love, or do I need to love people more? Because it's both. It's as we receive, we need to love. And it's as we love, we receive. And so I'm going to encourage us to pray that God would both pour his love out amongst us, that we might share it. That we might share it. So should we stand together? And we're going to pray together. This passage ends, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have not seen cannot love God whom they have, who they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Father God, help us to love. Lord, we recognize we are in a world that desperately needs love. And Lord, we've got the answer. Lord, you are the answer to love. And in some mysterious way, we are the answer to love as we love one another and love others. Lord, help us to receive your love. And Lord, help us to show your love. Just encourage you, just your own words, just invite God to reveal his love to you afresh. And one of the ways God reveals his love is as we love. So if there's, just ask God if there's people that you need to especially show love to at the moment. People in the fellowship of this church. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to love as you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you took the initiative. Lord, thank you that you gave your best. Thank you that you love us unconditionally, that you sacrificed yourself for us. Lord, help us to love in that same way. Lord, help us to receive from you, even as we continue to worship and pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.